Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, the first Tuesday of the new year for me. I'm Phil Huff, your host this morning, and with me in the studio, we have Melissa Hendrickson from the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. We're going to get to more about Melissa and the BCHA in a moment. First, we're going to do a little bit of the weather. Looking outside today, it's patchy fog, and then partly sunny, a high of 45 degrees. Tonight, we have areas of freezing fog and patchy fog, a low of 33. Wednesday, a high of 41 with dense and freezing fog. It looks like we've just got fog in the forecast all the way through to and including the weekend. Highs in the 30s, lows in the upper 20s, and something has really settled in for the new year. Anyway, that just doesn't sound delightful at all, Melissa, does it?
No, the freezing fog makes it kind of difficult to drive.
Yeah, it's a good time to cuddle up and stay home. Well, we're going to move on with the interview now. Welcome to the studio, Melissa. Your first time in here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been in the making for a while. You are the North Idaho co-chair. That's a volunteer position with the Idaho chapter of the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And we're going to get into all of that in a moment. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long you've been in North Idaho? What brought you here? What you did to get ready to be co-chair of this incredible group?
Do you want the long story? No, I'm just
kidding. We have at least 40 minutes, so maybe 50.
So I used to work for the Forest Service. So that's what brought me to North Idaho. I moved to Coeur d'Alene, and I had a 12-year career with the Forest Service as a hydrologist and also an avalanche forecaster. We just heard the avalanche forecast, so I used to do that, all things water. And so I'm very invested in public lands and the management of public lands. And I moved to Sandpoint after I had my child and stopped working for the Forest Service. My husband and I moved permanently to his house. My house was in Coeur d'Alene. And I became a stay-at-home mom. And so once I got over that first year of being a stay-at-home mom and sleep deprivation all the time, which is very difficult, I was like, oh, I would like to give back to public lands and what I have valued so much in my life. And a volunteer position was a good way to go. Before, when I worked for a federal agency, it's kind of hard to balance both those things. But now I can work on the other side of the aisle, as you may say, sort of sometimes. Yeah. But also have a very good knowledge of kind of what happens on public lands and the management of that to sort of, help us.
Now, as I know, most hydrologists, they're out in the field more than they're in the office. They're tromping around. Maybe they're bringing a scope and trying to figure out where the elk are moving in the fall.
Yes. My whole career, I was in the field. So did large-scale watershed restoration for cutthroat trout. I did mediation and remediation for wildland fires. Advised on timber sales, wrote NEPA, wrote the in-office part, did the legal pieces of writing how anything that was happening on Forest Service met the Clean Water Act. And so just like very intimate knowledge of North Idaho and where I am, because I was out there all the time. So I think of things by creeks, not by mountain peaks necessarily. But you can tell now that I'm a hydrologist because my son also knows how to point out culverts all the time.
So what did that bring you to North Idaho? Were you with the Forest Service beforehand and got transferred in, or?
Yeah, I'm originally from Northern Maine. And my first Forest Service job was in Northeastern Utah, which is a very different landscape from where I grew up. And I didn't want to stay there forever. I stayed there for 3 years, and then I wanted to move somewhere that was a lot similar to where I grew up, which was close proximity to the Canadian border and had trees.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's Northern Maine, like north of Portland. There's Northern Maine, like Fort Kent.
Yeah, I was just south of Fort Kent, Presque Isle. So very Northern Maine, like 15 miles from the Canadian border.
I went to school in Waterville at Colby College.
I was from Northern Maine, actual Northern Maine. And so I kind of wanted to live in that top tier of the United States again, where there's good snow, trees, rednecks, all that stuff.
There's a lot of similarities between Idaho and Maine. The mountains, covered forests, of course, mostly pine, big lakes.
Yeah.
Of course, they're big ponds because they're not quite as deep, but lots of water.
Yes, yeah. a lot of water, a lot of just good outdoor opportunities that you get to appreciate. You know, that's how I grew up. That's how I want my kid to grow up. Yeah.
Congratulations on that journey. That must be exciting. What are you, 4 years into that?
Yes, he just turned four at Christmas.
Yeah, very, very exciting. So how did you come to find, or did the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers find you?
So Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and we can just go with the abbreviation, which is BHA, so we don't have to say the whole thing out again.
I was trying to put the C in there.
BHA, okay. Yeah, Backcountry, I guess, is one word, so that's why it's just B. My husband and I have been a member for a while. They were on our radar. We'd been to a couple of their organization hosting like Pint Night things in Coeur d'Alene. And so just in through the notifications that we get with them, I saw that they had a secretary position open for the Idaho board, which is a volunteer position. And I was like, okay, I think I could do that. And secretary sounds like a great way to get involved because I'd have to pay attention to everything that was going on as I took notes at the meetings and learn about everything. And so I was in that position for only a couple months before the previous North Idaho chair stepped down because of work conflicts. And the rest of the board said, hey, we're going to vote you in as North Idaho chair because you've been really active and you have a lot of knowledge up there. So I've been doing that for 3 years now, I guess, almost 3 years, I think now.
And so this is a national organization.
Correct. Yeah. So BHA is nationally across the country. We have 49 chapters, I believe. So there's active people in all the states. It became a nonprofit in Canada last year. It earned its...
Not quite sure where we're getting that feedback. We might have you jump over to microphone 3. If you want to make a quick switch there. Listeners, stand by. That's even worse.
Oh, no.
Move them
away from each other.
Let's try that. All right, listeners, hang on while we adjust things here in the studio. Trade those back out. All right.
Okay.
Talk very close in.
Very closely.
Okay, let's try this.
So we earned nonprofit status in Canada last summer. And so we have chapters in two provinces and one territory. So, you know, the goal of making it a North American organization. There's about 40,000 members, I think, across the U.S. So we're a little bit smaller in the kind of the nonprofit space in terms of like Ducks Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, like the big players,
they've had a few decades.
Yeah. They have a lot of time on us. Yeah. So, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, BHA it's a grassroots foundation. So 2004, there were seven people. I think there was a lady there too.
That's actually pretty tremendous growth. Yeah. So just a little over 20 years. That's impressive. And going international, because, of course, most of the species, the big game species, even the water with the flowing back and forth, don't recognize this artificial east-west line that separates us from Canada.
And we know that very distinctly up here for us, because we have rivers that flow from north to south. We have rivers that flow from south to north.
And some of our iconic species just flow back and forth. The bears and the ungulates.
And not to mention, you know, all the migration, the migrating species.
So in Idaho, and help me out here if I'm wrong, but at one point there was a North Idaho chapter, and that was either distinct from the rest of the state or there was no rest of the state. It was just North Idaho.
I think, I'm not sure about that. I think that was before my time, but I do believe it's just been the Idaho chapter. And so we have sort of just a little bit unique model in that we have three chapter chairs. Mm-hmm. So one from up here, one from Treasure Valley, and then one from East Idaho. Which works out really well for us since they're such distinct geographic regions of the state, both like geography and both politically and sort of economically as well. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helps tie in the whole state without having, without leaving people out. You know, if you're Boise centric, sometimes, you know, all the way up here, we're like, ah, whatever, that's just happening down in Boise. Yeah. It doesn't matter to us. But having a voice all across the state really, really helps.
Yeah, there are.
And as a chair for a volunteer organization, you know, we just had the Treasure Valley chair step down. It didn't mean that we went chairless, you know, right. So we have continuity to help keep that, like, especially in volunteer positions, as
leadership.
You know.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. Then describe to us what the goals or ambitions of this chapter are. What kind of things do you do?
Yeah, so broadly, overall, you know, BHA is the voice for public lands, waters, and wildlife. You know, a lot of the other conservation organizations, like the Rocky Mountain Elk, they pick a species. And the founders of BHA wanted to talk for public land and to, you know, champion that value so that we have hunting and angling opportunities for generations to come and kind of speak out for the land that can't speak for itself. And so, you know, we want to ensure that hunting heritage and fishing heritage for, you know, my son, which I'm, you know, very, very passionate about, and, you know, and friends and all of that. So that's kind of the broad overall. And then by chapter, you know, you might have differing missions, or not necessarily missions, but just different focuses that are priorities in your area. So like in Colorado, it could be river access. In Wyoming, it's the corner crossing. You know, in Idaho, we've been very involved in the public lands, you know, sort of staying public lands in public hands throughout this year, you know, working with our representatives to keep that for all of us, because it has been shown that Idahoans really value public lands.
So there's advocacy work around public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the chapters that mostly focused at a state level or some national initiatives like the Roadless?
Yeah, all of the above. We have, so our headquarters is in, because we're a national organization, we have headquarters in Montana. And so we have people that are working at the national level, and then we have people that are working at the state level. And then we, within our organization, we also have regional representatives, and those are based on the, for Idaho, based on the 7 fish and game regions, mm-hmm. to have local people that are keeping tabs on stuff. So whether that's Forest Service, whether that's fish and game stuff, whether that's county commissioner things. So just trying to keep a pulse on all different levels. And, mm-hmm. you know, people, volunteers come with all different strengths. And so wherever you want to slot yourself in, our Eastern policy, or our Eastern chair, he's very into the national policy. Myself, I'm more into the stewardship side of it. And so we just, you know, pool our strengths that way to mm-hmm. do good.
And do you coordinate some of those other national organizations, some of the ones you mentioned, or others like Ducks Unlimited or Rocky Mountain Elk?
Yes, that kind of happens more at the national level. At the state level, we participate with the other sporting groups in the state. We will go in together and write comment letters to have more of a voice, you know, so we might sign on with Trout Unlimited or Idaho Sportsman's Group, so stuff like that, depending on what, you know, the policy is.
We seem to be getting a real nexus of power up here. The state representative for Trout Unlimited is here locally as well.
Yeah. Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. Aaron Plew.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you do some stewardship work projects? I believe you do. So
yeah,
you can tell us about that.
Yeah, so yeah, BHA is kind of the policy, and then stewardship and also education are kind of sort of different, not necessarily different branches, but I'm very involved in stewardship. You know, my background in large-scale watershed restoration, and then also I'm an introvert, so like talking to trash and things on the ground is not as hard as for me as talking to people in a bar. So,
so it's easier to pick up trash. Yeah, than pick up somebody in the bar.
Yeah.
That as a young mother, you would do the latter.
But, that's my yeah, strong but, suit. Yeah. So yes, yeah, stewardship projects. So up here, you know, locally picking up trash is such an impactful thing. Like it's something that's not ever going to go away. You can make an immediate difference so you can see on the landscape. So we have a lot of trash cleanups, definitely cleaning up shooting pits and illegal shooting pits and stuff like that. And then just other different things, like we trail work projects, partner with the Idaho Trails Association to do some trail work. down in the southern part of the state where we have more BLM and open sagebrush country, and that we do fence inventory and modifications of barbed wire fences to help for wildlife and help make those more wildlife friendly. And then I've done a fence pull, or I've done a barbed wire pull up here, just a whole host, any sort of event that you can see, you know, figure out on the ground. But a lot of times, for me especially, because I have a 4-year-old, and so I'm going to do all my events that are family friendly. And so picking up trash is one of my kids' favorite things in the world.
It's a great gateway for kids.
Yeah.
As long as you can keep them safe if they're highway mm-hmm. trash pickup, but in the backcountry, you don't have that problem.
Yeah, we usually find something out in the woods where it's, you know, families and dogs and kids can come and pick up trash.
I know. My wife and I are forever cleaning up campsites that have mm-hmm. been just left unattended, trashed out, and I don't understand how people hike into the backcountry and leave trash, but...
Yeah, you and me both.
It is a perennial problem.
Yes.
And it does need an all-hands solution, so... Well, that's really interesting. So there's the stewardship, the advocacy work, education.
Yeah, and so education... So up here, one of the big things that we do is we teach a Learn to Hunt program. Mm-hmm. And kind of the overall sort of the model is called R3, so... And I'm probably going to mess up the acronym because I didn't actually write this down ahead of time, but recruitment, re-engagement, and retention. So it's to keep hunters. You know, none of us want it as a hunter. We never want to see another person at our spot or our trailhead. But in terms of policy and voting, we need to have as many people as possible understand what our lifestyle is and understand the science behind it so that they can vote with knowledge and help us out that way. And so, but then there's a lot of people that want to learn how to hunt, and they aren't lucky enough to have a parent that taught them or friends that they met at work to be their mentors. Mm-hmm. And so we host a Learn to Hunt program where it's kind of a next step past your hunter safety from fish and game. Yeah. So we go over gear and tactics in the field and all shooting and proper etiquette and ethics mm-hmm. and all of that stuff.
The whole North American model of
We have a whole section on the North American model of wildlife. Yep.
Very good. And so along with that, it sounds like the education includes both tactics as well as a dose of the ethical considerations for conservation of species and habitat.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the ethics that are written out in rules that come in the fish and game books. Mm-hmm. But then there's also your personal ethics. And so getting... You know, some people have varying, you know, levels of that, but sharing that with people and then getting a broad view of that can help people craft their own and then be good stewards of public land, be good stewards of wildlife and fishing, and just help spread that message that, you know, there's people that don't hunt have a perception of what hunting is. And then when they learn a little bit more about it, a lot of times they're... thoughts are changed because it's not what they thought it was before. Right.
So the classes are open to everyone, even if they don't intend to actually go out and hunt.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's like we have 5 sessions for it. And so, you know, we would invite anybody, you know, even if they want to come with their kid and learn more about it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It comes with there's a donation for it, and then it comes with a BHA membership. And we hope that we get you involved afterwards.
And when do those usually hold those classes?
The Learn to Hunt is in the summer. We will put an announcement up in the late spring on the backcountryhunters.org website. And so the event will be listed there.
Mm-hmm. And so is there a Learn to Fish component, or is that a whole separate class? We hear a lot about Learn to Hunt initiatives.
Yeah.
Hunter safety, but what about fishing
safety? We haven't done a Learn to Fish. That's a very good idea, I guess. And I think probably just there hasn't been the request for that. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a lot more sort of support from other angles, because Fish and Game has all the free fishing days where right. they go and show up and they bring tackle and stuff for
that's
kids.
Kind of a good opening, not so much how to, but come out and try it. But
yeah.
But you know, sending kids into the, is the field the right expression if it's a pond or lake or stream?
Sending
into
them
the metaphoric
out.
Field. Sending them out there on the waters.
Yeah.
But, you know, prepared with some idea of what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, maybe if we gather up enough interest will do a learn to fish. But you know, the majority of the interest is big game. So like deer and elk are kind of daunting to take on by yourself. So it's more coach, even though we encourage everybody to start with small game because it's much easier.
I could see the allure of the big game and the mystique, but
it tastes really good.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be actually, despite the fact they're everywhere, somewhat hard to hunt a turkey.
Oh yeah. They're way smarter than you think they are.
They're smart birds and they make a lot of distracting noise and movement and things, that, you know, meant to distract you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think turkeys is one of the surprising ones to people because they're like, they're in our yard all the time. And then you take them out and I'm like, that turkey already saw you.
Yeah.
They're like, it's a half a mile away. I'm like, it already saw you.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short music break. If you're just tuning in this morning on the KRFY morning show, we're listening to Melissa Hendrickson from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, BHA. Right now, we're going to listen to a little bit of Walkin' Jim Stoltz, if I can find the right buttons. Here we go. Walkin' Jim Stoltz along the Great Divide. And if that doesn't inspire someone to get out and explore the backcountry, I don't know what would. But we're talking all things backcountry hunting and angling this morning with Melissa Hendrickson. Welcome back to the KRFY Morning Show here at 88.5 FM. Listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And let's pick up, Melissa, we were talking about inventing up a Learn to Fish series.
Yeah, Learn to Fish.
Yeah, we need to come back. We need to get that idea going and have you back in the spring when it's ready for prime time.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's, even if you don't participate in the Learn to Hunt program, becoming a member of BHA is a great way to make friends. You know, coming to a trash cleanup, you're going to be there with people that hunt and fish. And we might not give you our best hunting spots, but we will give you any advice and we will give you places to start. And so it's, you know, you look at those things as a way to make friends too. Mm-hmm. Like my husband just went duck hunting with a gentleman that we met at a trash cleanup last year. And so, you know, you automatically come out of those with new friends and you always need a number. If you are into elk hunting, elk are a really big animal, so you need as many numbers in your phone book as possible to come help you pack that thing out when the animal hits the ground in the fall.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Elk hunting especially is a team sport.
It is. It can be. It's solo, and if you're really tough, it can be solo the whole entire way through, but it's better with a team for sure.
So it's 2026. It's a new year. We talked about the public policy work. Any particular initiatives that the BHA is tracking either here in Idaho or nationally?
So on our state board, we have a policy person, and then nationally, we also have a policy watcher. And so nothing yet has come through the legislature that we will weigh in on, but
I think they're just gearing up.
Yeah. So once they start really rolling, usually there'll be a bill that affects hunters and anglers. And so whether it's access issues or limiting, you know, the Idaho Fish and Game, what they can do, that sort of stuff, we'll see if it follows along with our mission and we'll write a comment letter of support or opposing and I think go from there.
Big issues so far seem to be on the state level, the budget, of course, which has been a really hot topic. And I don't know what budget initiatives there might be that would impact BHA, but it's so much of the budget is divided up in smaller pieces to more mouths, if you will. Even the state agencies that coordinate with you probably are seeing some pinch.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. And this may be your state policy person, but the Idaho governor has a new natural resources policy advisor, Kristen Sleeper, who previously worked overseeing the Forest Service. So that ought to bring in some fresh perspectives.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out and how our relationship builds down in the Treasure Valley area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Upcoming programs, events, things to keep on the radar for folks listening.
Yeah. So I plan a couple events in the summer. I don't have any dates yet. Those will be kind of out maybe towards May. But last summer I started a public land pack out, which we've been partnering with Onyx, the computer mapping program, for our packouts, but I did it as a pop-up series. So sort of more like the trails programs or the, you know, Ponderay Peddlers does around here with a weeknight stewardship project. There are a lot of trashy spots on the national forest, as we were talking about, or even, you know, any sort of public land, state land, Stimson. We even go on to the, some of the open access lands that we have, are very fortunate to access here. And 2 hours with 10 people can clean up a lot of trash.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you have a crew of 10, you can do a lot of work.
And so rather than trying to harass people to come out on a Saturday and give up a whole Saturday in the summer, because there's very limited, you know, we're in North Idaho, there's very limited summer Saturdays. We come out, we go out for 2 hours in the evening, and then we cook some hot dogs over a fire afterwards and get to know each other, friends that way. So that will be reoccurring May, June, July, and August. Last year, we did it on the first Tuesday of the month. I haven't set a date yet, but stay tuned for that. We'll have an events posting about that. And then...
Partnering with Onyx again?
I don't know yet if we're still partners with Onyx this year or not.
That's a great mapping application to use into my cell phone. I think a lot of people do.
And fantastic.
Various different product designs they have, but their backcountry application, I think, is one of the better ones for in the field.
Yes, it's absolutely excellent. And then Public Lands Month is the month of September. And so usually I will, this year will be the fourth annual public land pack out on the Clark Fork Drift Yard. And so we go out by any sort of watercraft that you have. So you can go canoe, paddleboard, whatever, or you can just walk around the drift yard too. And we pick up trash. It's a reoccurring theme to see how many flip-flops we can find. Last year was our record, and I think we had 12. We've already found two duck hunting this January. So there's still more shoes to be found. I don't know who all these people are that lose shoes in the drift yard, but.
Well, now wait a minute. That's a new mother. You're going to learn.
Yeah. Actually, we found matching, but two Crocs of different colors of right and left that my son wore all last fall.
Yeah.
But the rest of those are the only kids' shoes we found. The rest of them have been adult shoes. So
interesting.
The kids have been keeping their shoes on.
I remember trash pickup years ago, a lot of times involved six packs used to come in those plastic things that then created literally nooses for fish and other wildlife, small game. And so those were just insidious.
Yeah. I haven't found one of those in a long time.
I'm not sure if they were outlawed or there's just cultural pressure against using them to avoid that wildlife trap.
Yeah. I guess everything comes in boxes now.
Yeah. But
yeah. And then we'll have our Learn to Hunt program this summer. And then we'll also be partnering with the Idaho Trails Association for a trail stewardship project. And that'll be posted on their website. I think they go live in March. And that's for up here. And then if you look at the website and you're traveling throughout the state and you want to help with something else in the southern part, there's projects all over the state.
So best way for someone listening to follow up on this?
So backcountryhunters.org is where the events are listed. We have an events page. We also are most active on Instagram. So Backcountry Hunters is the national one. And then Idaho BHA is our more local chapter where stuff we'll post things.
And during the music break, we were talking a little bit offline. There's a veterans initiative.
Yeah. And so AFI is the Armed Forces Initiative, and that's to get active and then also returned military members involved and have an avenue, an outlet for them to work together, to become involved in stewardship, to learn about hunting. And it's a little bit separate of a chapter. We have a coordinator down. He's from Mountain Home, but he's organizing a lot of stuff down here. We have an active member up here as well that works sort of in Washington and Montana as well. He organizes a couple turkey hunts and stuff like that. So it's a very good way for military members to become involved in something when they come home. The program is very impactful. I don't know the exact numbers of how many veterans are within BHA, but it's very impactful on those people's lives. And
it has to be therapeutic for them.
Yeah, and welcome everybody in.
And you mentioned Montana and Washington, and that bleeds into the next question. You know, up here in the North Panhandle, our nearest neighbors aren't Boise. They're our neighboring states. Do you coordinate with chapters in those states somewhat?
Yeah, so any events that, you know, I'll send out within a radius. So everybody's welcome from both sides of the border. We partner. So like this year we partnered on writing comment letters for the helping out Montana chapter with the proposed increase in pollutants in the Kootenai River. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we wanted to support that because obviously the Kootenai River flows from Montana into Idaho.
Might even be able to collaborate with the Canadian friends.
Yeah. And it was a greater sign on too for some stuff. So yeah, we do partner where it, when it becomes appropriate together, which is really cool because we have a couple active members in Spokane and north of Spokane. So,
all right. Now, so backcountry hunters and anglers, really broad array of folks interested. Many have a particular passion for it's elk or turkey or trout. What's yours?
Oh, I.
Or is that asking a mother to choose between her children?
You don't have to do that. Well, I only have one child, so yeah. I would say at this stage in my life, I am into birds.
Birds.
And I have two bird dogs, and watching a bird dog work and understanding bird dogs is just so amazing because once you get into it and you realize how many years of breeding with good breeders to pick out traits and stuff like that of like what a working dog is. And it's amazing to watch them. And it's just fun to hunt with your four-legged best friend. And bird hunting in general, just whether it's waterfowl, is a lot easier right now with a four-year-old because we bring our four-year-old for everything that we do. So, you know, you don't have to be as quiet. Mm-hmm. You can stop and eat a lot of snacks all the time. You know, sort of. You can be a little, especially if it's upland hunting. You know, a lot more wiggly. Mm-hmm. You know, be a little bit more still for duck hunting. But
then there's that moment of excitement for the four-year-old.
You come home with more game. It's that introduction to the life cycle, to the sustainability of it, to where our meat comes from. Yeah. And just the places that it takes you, you know, for bird hunting, like this year we've been to the high desert in southern Idaho with the sage grouse and the sagebrush and watching antelope, chukar country, which is steep as snot, and the four-year-old usually doesn't come on that. And then duck hunting, you just have like these amazing sunsets and sunrises and just different species that are completely beautiful that you get to see and watch in what they're doing.
Now, being from Northern Maine and having lived there, I just picture you in a canoe somewhere.
We were in the canoe actually 2 days ago for duck hunting.
Okay.
we have all the boats. We have the kayak, the canoe, and the John boat, depending on where we go. But yeah, I actually grew up a lot in a canoe in Northern Maine.
Yeah, hard not to, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're kind of coming to the close of the questions I was going to ask. Anything on your mind you want to talk about before we wrap things up?
We'd love to have people join and participate. You know, it's $35 membership, gets you 4 journals a year, backcountry journals, which has beautiful articles about everything. Some are written by non-hunters, some are written by hunters, birds, you know, all of the above. I'm going to throw in a personal recruitment here. I had mentioned before I'm an introvert, and a lot of the events that BHA has are called pint nights, where you just, you know, you go and you buy a beer and you listen to someone maybe talk, maybe not, but get together with a group of hunters, a simulation of a campfire, but a little bit lower involvement because you don't actually have to go anywhere. And I'm not good at organizing those. So I need someone from Coeur d'Alene, Sandpoint, up here that is a social butterfly and would love to organize one of those events for me.
Well, there we have it. Our listeners include a wide range of types, including extroverts, introverts, and social butterflies.
Yeah. So if you're a social butterfly and you love public land, we need you.
Best way to follow up on that with you?
You can look it up on the website, backcountryhunters.org. You can find the state chapters, but it's Idaho@backcountryhunters.org.
Okay. Tell them you're looking to help Melissa organize pint nights. And KRFY sent you.
Yep. Yeah. Or pick up trash. All of the above.
All of the above. Well, very good. Again, we're closing out the interview with Melissa Hendrickson from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Thanks for coming on the show today. If you have events sometime this spring, you're welcome back. We all always love to have guests come on just before there's stuff happening.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go out with a little bit of Kate Bush, and then I'm going to come back with upcoming events. So stay tuned.